So we're continuing our discussion of Nisringa Chaturdasi, extended class about Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, because of Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord himself came, Paritranaya Saranam Vinashaya Chaturdaskritam. Krishna comes to protect his devotees, Paritranaya, Paritranaya, Paritranaya Saranam. He comes to deliver Paritran, the sadhus, and destroy the miscreants. Vinashaya, Duskritam. Duskritam, Paritranaya Saranam, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, Dharma Samstat Panartaya Sambhavami Jagayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayay I come to Paritran to deliver my sadhus, my saintly followers, my saintly worshippers and devotees. But he also says, to do that, what do we have to be delivered from? He says, Vinashaya Chatuskritam, Vinash Chatuskritam. He says, Vinash, to deliver someone, you have to destroy. If someone is drowning, then you have to destroy the ocean. Remove that person from the ocean. And that's the source of their drowning. So you have to destroy the source of their drowning, which means to take them out of the water. So this is the Paritran, to deliver them. Vinashaya Chatuskritam. So Duskritam, the translation is, I deliver my devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Miscreants means the asuras, gnostics, demons, the atheists, pashandis, the enemies of the devotees, the anti-party, the bigoted, the fault finder, the blasphemer. But in a deeper way, we can see that Vinashaya Chatuskritam means Duskriti. Duskriti means bad fame. Kirti, Kriti. Kriti means fame and Kriti means activity. Dush means bad or far. Dush means generally bad, faulty. Faulty or bad, improper, incorrect. Another meaning of this is that Krishna, what is Krishna, he delivers us from what? He destroys all the badness within us. If there's any demons within us, demons of doubt, miscreants of misbehavior or durachar misbehavior, or greed, anger, envy. Vinashaya Chatuskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya. Samstapana. Samstapana means to establish or to promote Dharma. So Krishna establishes Dharma within the living entity, within the devotee. Because he says sadhanam, he's a devotee, but sometimes he's troubled. He's troubled by his lust or greed or envy or anger. And he cries out to the Lord, O Krishna, O Bhagavan, O Ram, please save me, please save me, please save me. I'm so angry, I'm so envious. And then the Lord comes and destroys that duskriti, that bad behavior and bad activity. There's sukriti and duskriti.
Yes.
So sukritam is a doer of good deeds, of religious activities, a dharma dwaji. So doing good deeds is sukriti, and doing bad deeds is duskriti. And duskritam means a doer of bad deeds, a bad doer. So now, in this discussion of Prahlad Maharaj, it's said that Prahlad Maharaj represents Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or Shanta Bhakti, Shantaras, which is passive, and there's no real active service there. And he himself, Prahlad Maharaj, admits in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he said, you're glorifying me, Narad, that I have received special mercy from the Lord. I'm a special recipient of the Lord's mercy, but actually it's not true. I haven't done any seva. One who has mercy, he's close to the Lord. He loves the Lord. He serves the Lord. That's the proof of someone has mercy, that he has a personal relationship with the Lord and he's actively serving him. So, I mean, the real devotee is Hanuman. He's Dasyarati. He's Dasyabhav. Dasyarati Hanuman. Because he's so intimately connected with the Lord on a continual basis. It's not that he momentarily saw the Lord. The Lord came and saved him and said, okay, bye, see you. Never saw him again. He's regularly contacting the Lord, massaging him, carrying him, fanning him, serving him, glorifying him, singing about him, hearing about him, seeing him, taking darshan, assisting him, fighting side by side, saving him, giving him medicine. So many sevas he's doing. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying about himself, he said, I didn't do any seva. So now sometimes devotees argue, oh, wait a minute. Prahlad Maharaj himself is telling in 7th canto of Bhagavatam, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Arshanam Mandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atman Vedanam. He said these are the 9 limbs of devotion, which are forms of service. Devotion means bhakti. Bhakti means seva. Seva. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord by hearing about Him. Serving the Lord by chanting about Him. Serving the Lord by remembering Him. So sometimes devotees argue, no, how is it Prahlad Maharaj's Gyan Mishra Bhakti? How is he Shantaras? How is he Shanti? How is he a Shantabhakta? How is he not? He's pure bhakti, but it's let's say immature bhakti. It's dormant bhakti. He's not really expressing it. He's not really serving the Lord.
Yes.
He never rendered any direct service to the Lord. He was saved by the Lord, but what did he do to serve the Lord? So then the argument is, no, but he was doing smaranam, Vishnu smaranam. He was always remembering the Lord. In fact, that's how he attained perfection. Nectar Devotion says 9 personalities attain perfection. Shukadeva by speaking, Pariksha by hearing, and by serving the lotus feet as Lakshmi Devi, and by offering wonderful prayers as Preeti Maharaj, and by remembering as Prahlad Maharaj, and doing Archanam as Preeti Maharaj is doing Archan, and doing Vandanam as Akura. Akura attained perfection by doing Vandanam. Serving lotus feet is, of course, Lakshmi Devi. And Sakyam Dasyam is Hanuman is Dasyam, and Sakyam is Arjuna, the Bali Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, Avnanavedanam, of course, is Bali Maharaj. He surrendered the body, mind, kingdom, everything, his head. So, okay, he's doing Vishnu Smaranam, so it must be service. So now, why are the Acharyas, and why is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, why is Sanatana Goswami saying, no, he didn't do any service. He's making Prahlad speak, or Prahlad speaking through the pages of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and the shlokas. He's saying, I didn't do any seva. So then we say, but Prahlad, you did smaranam all the time. You're remembering the time of life, the time of death, the time of play, the time of work, everywhere, remembering. And then the Sanatana Goswami says that seva he did was indirect, was not direct seva. So dasya rati, which means serving the Lord, that means direct seva. So this doesn't count, Prahlad's case. He was born, of course, in a family of demons. So his mind was actually afflicted by ignorance due to the blood. We are affected by our association. We are affected by our birth. Of course, ultimately it's the guna and karma that determines the final result of a man, or the final position or contribution of a man is what are his qualities and what are his actions. Chaturvarnya mayashrasam guna karma vibhagasha. Krishna says there's 4 categories of human beings according to their qualities and activities. Nevertheless, birth has something to do with shaping the individual, his mind, his consciousness, because he's born in a Brahmin family because of certain samskaras. He's born in a pure vegetarian family of Brahmins because of pure samskaras. Now, if he doesn't develop the Brahminical qualities, guna, samo damastapasho cham shantir arjam evasha gyanam vijnanam astakam brahma karma sabhavajam, if he doesn't develop Brahma sabhav, then of course that can't be really said to be a Brahmin, although he is born in a Brahmin family. He doesn't have the sadguna, the vipra, sadkarma nipana vipra, sadkarma nipana vipra, that a Brahmin has 6 qualities. He's expert, nipun, sadkarma nipana vipra. A vipra, a Brahmin, is expert in 6 qualities, yajan, dan, pratigraha, and patan, pat. And hearing Bhagavatam, speaking Bhagavatam, doing puja and yajna, and engaging other people in puja and yajna, receiving dan or charity or dakshin, and pratigraha, doing charity and welfare work for the benefit of others and the welfare and happiness of others. So these sadgunas, these sadkarmas, 6 activities of a Brahman are there. So that's the karma and then the qualities. So he was born, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, so his mind was actually affected by ignorance. Even though the only seva that Prahlad was actually doing was smaranam, remembering the Lord, he himself admitted in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that it was not very good quality seva. Why? Because it was full of faults like vikshepa. Nikshepa, of course, is a problem we have in japa. Prahlad, he says, okay, I was doing remembrance, but actually there was two problems with my smaran, Vikshepa and laya. Vikshepa means distraction, inattention, mind jumping here and there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, how's my wife? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, where's my kid? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what about the future? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'm hungry. This is Vikshepa, distraction, jumping mind. Prahlad was suffering from the same thing, so his so-called seva smaran was not very continuous or nishta, steady. And also was infected with laya, like pralaya, means sleep and inattention. He was a little bit scattered-brained. For your example, try yourself. Try sitting down doing smaran. Okay, now I'm going to remember the morning pastimes. Nishant Leela 336 to 6, when Radha and Krishna wake up in Nidiban, and in the Nibrita Nikunj, and the birds, some Brindadevi signals to some birds to come, and the cuckoos come and they start warbling, and then the parrots, and then the mourning doves come, and the peacocks come, and they enter the kunj and they fan their tails. And you're following the meditation and remembering the lila, trying to meditate on it for a minute or two or three, and all of a sudden your mind goes somewhere. Oh, what was I thinking? What's next? Where was I? What was I thinking?
Yes.
That's called vikshepa. Mind wandering here and there. Why do we have vikshepa? It's due to ignorance and passion in the mind. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a tamasic family of demons. So ignorance, he had ignorance in his mind because of his birth. Because of that deficiency of ignorance, he was not able to do very deep quality or good quality smaranam. He himself is chastising himself or ridiculing himself. He said, my seva smaranam? It's not direct seva. First of all, it's not direct seva. I'm not actually serving the Lord. It's one thing to say, yes, I'm serving my husband. How are you serving? I'm thinking I'm cooking for him. That's very nice.
Yes.
Where's your husband? My husband's in France. Where are you? I'm in Delhi.
Yes.
So is that direct cooking?
No, Maharaj.
That's indirect.
Yes.
You don't even see him. You're only imagining him or remembering him or thinking of him. So that's called, if you even accept it as seva, it's not direct seva. It's indirect. So Prahlad is saying, what is this? The Lord is not in front of me. I'm not massaging his feet like Lakshmi Devi. I'm not seeing his glories like Ram, who stands in front of Ram, like Hanuman, who stands in front of Ram and plays his veena or whatever he plays, those little clacker things, and seeing the glories of Ram and full darshan of his Lord. This is very indirect. So this is the cause. What is the cause of distraction in the mind when we're chanting japa or vikshepa? The cause is ignorance and passion in the mind. The second deficiency or problem in the smaranam of Prahlad was laya. Laya means the tendency to sleep. We're chanting japa, we fall asleep, we hear bhagavatam, fall asleep. So this is called pralaya. Pralaya means the world goes to sleep. Pralaya. Prakrishtarena laya. Laya means some destruction. If you're awake and you fall asleep, that means your wakefulness has been destroyed. And pralaya means complete destruction. The universe is inundated by the floodwaters and there's destruction of the universe. So laya means that. Anarthas in bhakti, chanting Harinam or Smaran. We sit down for Smaranam and we lose our awareness or consciousness. Like pralaya, there's total dissolution, destruction of the world or consciousness. Pralaya means total destruction. So we're conscious, we have consciousness. I'm Krishna conscious. I'm thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh Mother Hara, oh energy of the Lord, oh Srimati Radharani, please engage me. You're the personification of loving service and dedication to Krishna. Please engage me in the service of the Lord. Oh Radharani, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then you fall asleep, so that's a destruction. You're unconscious.
Yes.
So you've destroyed your Krishna consciousness. Where's your japa? Lying on the floor. Bees are lying on the floor. We chant japa. We pass 2 hours chanting Hare Krishna. we're moving our beads, and we finish, and then we wonder, what happened? Where was I? Was I chanting Hare Krishna, or was I daydreaming? Somehow or other, 2 hours just disappeared. Actually, I never thought of Krishna. My mind was everywhere, but not in Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hey, well, oh, already, oh, 16 rounds. Okay, well, I finished my 16 rounds. Did I think of Krishna? That's very common. This is a semi-conscious state. We don't know if we're awake or asleep. This means laya, L-A-Y-A, semi-conscious. So this is a fault of the seva smaranam. So this is laya. We finish, we wonder what happened. Where was I? Was I chanting or daydreaming? So laya means semi-conscious. So this is the fault of the seva of smaran. You're only another fault. What is another fault of the seva of smaran? You're only engaging your internal senses, your mind, not your external senses. External seva is better because then you engage your mind and senses in the seva or the pleasure of Krishna. So the mind is actually the king of the senses. So if the mind is controlled, then all the senses are controlled. In Vaishnava philosophy, we should not stop the senses from acting, but we should control the senses by using them in Krishna's seva. And then we should not disregard the Lord's plan. Krishna gave us a body with senses. That means they should be used in Krishna's seva for Krishna's pleasure. So the reason that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Prahlad himself is admitting, he said, I didn't do any seva. Some people say, oh, but he's doing smaran. Prahlad attained perfection by smaranam. Shravanam Krishna Vishnu Smaranam. Prahlad attained, it says there in Nectar Doshan. And Prahlad himself was saying, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I didn't do any seva. Because smaran is indirect seva. Why is it indirect? Because sometimes there's laya, sometimes there's a vikshepa. Prahlad is saying, sometimes my mind was distracted because of the ignorance of my mind. Why did I have ignorance of my mind? Because I was born in a demoniac father. So that tamagun came in me from my father, Aranyakashipu. So vikshepa was there, distraction going here and there, worried about my father, what's he going to do next, this, that. The next thing is laya. Laya means semi-consciousness, tendency to sleep. And then the other thing Prahlad is saying, what is this seva? There's a deficiency in the seva smaran. It only engages the mind. What about the external senses? But when you do external seva, if you're writing or preaching or managing, if you're managing some devotees, the devotee's a manager of the temple, and so many puja, many things he does, but his main service is managing devotees. So his external senses are engaged. His hands are engaged, his legs, his eyes. Do you think his mind is not engaged? His mind has to be engaged also. It's thinking, oh, you go here, you go there, you... So, mindfully engaged senses. So, this is the point that's made here in the purport by Sanatan Goswami Pad, that Krishna gave us these external senses in Indriya, Panchindriya, and he gave us the internal, not that we just sit and do smaran. We should be active also with the external senses. Otherwise, they will react on us. And of course, the example is there of Vishwamrita Muni.
Yes.
His mind was fully engaged in meditation, but his external senses weren't engaged. The Menaka came and engaged his external senses. She said, oh, your ears are not engaged? Oh, I'll give you engagement. And he was a king.
Yes.
Before he was a king. So a king has a queen. A queen has ankle bells and waist bells.
Yes.
And so he knows the sound very well. In very intimate settings, he knows what that sound is like. So that's a sanskar in his mind. Bells. Bells, ankle bells, wife, woman, enjoyment, pleasure, the past, attachment, king, family, this, that. So we're meditating. Ching, 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 ching. Oh, ching, ching, ching. Ding, 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 ding. It's like a computer. He sends a message, searches the whole disk, and finds, oh, ankle bells, your wife, woman. Oh, woman, oh, enjoyment. Oh, that's a lot better than what I'm doing now. I'm doing meditation. Oh, okay, this is okay. But woman and my wife and my queen opens his eyes. Hey, that's not my wife. Wow, that's not my... That's some damsel from heaven that makes my wife look like a... What do you call it? Bungie. My old queen looks like a bungie compared to Menaka. And then everyone knows what happened. And Shakuntala was born of that union. So this is the point, that we should not disregard the plan of the Lord. The Lord gave us a body with senses, and they are meant to be used in His service for Krishna's pleasure. And look at Bilva Mangala. Let's look at the example of Bilva Mangala. Bilva Mangala got lusty after a woman on his way to Vrindavan. He poked his eyes out because of attraction.
Yeah.
So now here's the question. People glorify that. Oh, look at Bilba Mungal. He's a great devotee. He got attracted to Maya, so he poked his eyes. So what is the glory of that? Is this considered bhakti? Because when you poke your eyes out, then what happens? You become dependent on other. You become dependent on others. You're a blind man. Somebody has to hold your hand and lead you here and there. You can't dress, eat, sleep, do anything. Somebody has to help you. And so then, how can you serve Krishna? That's a nice point. So if bhakti's path is the best, then all blind people should be self-realized. If Bilba Mangala's path, like people often glorify Bilba Mangala is such a great devotee. Of course, he wrote Krishna Karnamrita. That's a great offering, and that was all his revelation in his blindness in Vrindavan. And he had sportis, and he was in bhav. But sometimes people think that, yeah, this is the way to go. Oh, women are the problem, you know.
Yes,
of course, who has the courage to do that? It takes a lot of courage also. But if Bilba Mangala's path is the best, then all blind people should be self-realized.
Amazing.
So many blind people, right?
Yes.
Okay, guy, you're right. So they're blind, but they're not self-realized.
Yes.
You're poking our eyes out is not the solution. We have to transfer our attachments. Rupa Goswami's shloka is Anya Bilashita Shunyam. Anya Bilashita. Remember that?
Yes.
I gave 7 days class on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Kartik about this verse. 7 days or 10 days?
It's 10 days,
Maharaj,
actually.
10 days.
Yes,
and 2 hours we talk about what is this ta? Anya, ta means a tendency. Anya Abhilashita. The tendency to have other, Anya Abhilash, to have other desires, to have other attractions. Sometimes the feeling of detachment enters one due to emotional upset, disappointment, sickness, loss of friends or relatives, or the classic one is the cremation ground. What's it called? Samshan?
Yes,
Maharaj. Samshan?
Yes, Maharaj.
Samshan Vairagya. You must have heard, Janard, in so many tastes, probably. Samshan. Samshan means cremation ground. The children go there and their father's burning up. Oh, look at Dad. Oh, this is terrible. He's just bubbling and bursting and skin peeling off and juices flying everywhere and skin is popping. We've all seen, he's seen, I've seen, Banksy Yamuna. So then, well, I have to go to the temple. Where's that Bhagavad Gita? I think I got a Bhagavad Gita. He sold me a Bhagavad Gita. Let me find that Bhagavad Gita. And they start reading it. Tehino shvinyata dehi koma. So we lose interest in material things. And temporarily we lose our desires. But that does not mean that we're free from desire-ness. So abhilashita means a tendency to desire. Oh, I'm a brahmachari. I'm following brahmacharya. Controlling my senses, rising early, and I have all this good sangha and support and strength from all these devotees and this regulated program and the beautiful purifying darshan of deities and purifying activity of seva, guru seva. And now, so I feel very peaceful and now I'm becoming very pure. But is the abhilashita diminished? So this is the root. Just stopping the senses by austerity or meditation and is not perfect control of the senses. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many stories about individuals who tried unsuccessfully to control their senses. Yayati was one. He couldn't control his senses. Subari Muni, Subari Muni, you know, he came to the Yamuna. Subari Rishi. And it's told in other places, the Bhagavatam is not so specific, but in other Purans, it says, in Skanda Puran, it says, Subari Muni, He was 1,000 years under the water. He's 1,000 years. He did not use or engage his material senses for 1,000 years. He was just like a rock under the water, like a piece of coral or seaweed. He was covered with seaweed and barnacles and all these things. And his mind was totally in the meditation. And his senses were like not used, no engagement. But the root was still there. They cut the grass off, and you don't, or the weed off your yard, but you don't take out the root. So the root of desire, the abhilashita, was there. There was practically no body. He probably didn't have any body left. It was practically no body. So what is the question of senses? Even if just like Hiranyakashipu, was there any body there?
No, not.
It was how many years? 60,000 years? How many? 30. He was in Satyuga, so his lifespan was a lack of years.
Yes,
Hiranyakashipu. Everybody, but. So he spent one third of his life inside an anthill. One third of his life he spent meditating on two legs, two tiptoes, and he turned. The ants built a place around, ate up all his flesh, because ants are flesh eaters. They eat bodies of insects and stuff, and chipkalis. And they ate up all his flesh and made a house around his bones. He was living inside the prana was inside the bone marrow. And so that he was maintaining his life inside his bones. And still, inside his bones, he had the root was there, abhilashita. Abhilashita, the tendency for desire, the tendency of material desires was still inside his bones.
Yes.
So did he have any eye sockets or ears or nose or any kind of... There was nothing there. Was there any cerebrum or any kind of brain? There was nothing left. Everything was eaten up. It was just a skeleton inside his bones. Can you imagine? But there was no senses and no body, only bones, but still there was desire. Interesting title for this tape. Only bones, but still desire. There's desire in those bones. those old bones still have some desire. Like Vrindavan, for example. Now it's summertime coming on, pretty good. So the ground becomes very hard, like a rock. They drive tractors all over the place and big, heavy equipment they bring across the fields during the summertime because there's no crops growing. Vrindavan ground in the summer becomes hard as rocks. It's just like a rock. There's nothing green anywhere. You go around Govardhan. Jornardhan so many times goes around Govardhan Hill in the summertime. It's just stark like a desert. Nothing on Govardhan Hill is naked. Govardhan Hill is naked, like no clothes. No grass, no trees, nothing. Just some trees on the top, all stubs, all dried out. Then as soon as some rains come, as we go every Sunday, and we say, what happened? Yeah. Within a few days, the rains come, and everywhere is green, popping up. It's like carpets everywhere, and greenery everywhere, and the trees. Hey, there's a tree up there. I never noticed that tree. Look at all that green up there. So fast. So where does it come from? It's already dormant. The life is already there. The seed of karma. The rains come and then green everywhere. So the hidden seeds fructify. So hidden seeds are called karma, the seeds of karma vasana. Karma vasana are seeds. And they remain with the jiva for 1,000 kalpas. And they can remain. We have seeds of material desires that we've been carrying for 1,000 kalpas.
Yes.
And they wait for the right opportunity to fructify. So the best engagement for the senses is the Lord Seva. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat parat vena nirmalam rishikesha rishikenam sevanam bhakti uchate. Upadi. Sarvopadi. Upadi means to reject all personal desires. Usually they say upadi. Upadi means designations. Sarvopadi. You get free from designation. Okay, you're not a man, woman, Indian, this, that. You're jivara sarupaya krishnara nichidas. That's the general. But if we look deeper, this upadi actually means to reject all personal desires. Because even yayati and even sobari, they end up having desire. So give up all our desires and give up all impersonalism, karma and gyan. Bhakti means engaging all our desires in the seva of Krishna. We actually get a taste by serving Krishna. We get the param drishtva, higher taste. Even if we're surrounded and living amongst all kinds of objects for sense gratification, we won't fall down. We don't have to hide in the water like Subari Muni. Subari Muni was hiding in the Yamuna from all. There's nothing to see under there for 1,000 years, but still the desire was there and the right opportunity came. So bhakti is the only solution. If we serve Krishna without personal motivation, we'll get relish. We'll get some taste. Of course, that's not the goal of bhakti. So this is the problem that we see as we go on. We'll discuss later about Hanuman. That Hanuman, he's a great devotee, but there was some imperfection in his devotion, which Sanatan mentions, that he actually wanted to relish the happiness of engaging in Ram Seva. He's Dasyarathi Hanuman, Bhakta Hanuman. He's the beginning. Pure bhakti begins with Prahlad, which is Shanta Bhakti or Gyan Mishra Bhakti. It's the beginning of the triangle. The foundation is like a triangle. The top is the Brajavasis and the Gopis, of course. Gopis and Yashoda, then Sri Dham Subal, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya. And then the bottom of that triangle, but in the bottom, in the foundation, is Shantarathi of Prahlad. And outside the triangle, not even in the triangle of pure bhakti, is Sakama Bhakta, Dhruva Maharaj, and Kardama Muni. They're given there in the description. But Hanuman is actually there. He's above Prahlad. He's in Dasyarathi category. But there's some... He can't approach Braj Bhakti because he wanted to relish happiness in the Seva. And we'll discuss more of that in another session. Bhakti Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai Nisringa Chaturdasi Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe.